Progress toward developing medications for autism has been limited. Autistic people, their families, and clinicians are often caught between the imperative to address symptoms and the reality that available options are associated with uncertain benefits and potential harms. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Yara Zisman-Ilani, an associate professor in the Department of Social and Behavioral Sciences at the Barnett College of Public Health, and in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Science at the Lewis Katz School of Medicine, both at Temple University. Dr. Zisman-Ilani has co-authored a perspective article about shared decision-making in autism care. Dr. Zisman-Ilani, you write in your perspective article that only two medications have been approved by the FDA for use in autism. What symptoms do those medications target, and how effective are they?
There are two medications that are currently approved for treating co-occurring symptoms that are associated with autism. Medication are risperidone and aripiprazole. And the target is really to address irritability, aggression, sleep, anxiety, attention. You're not targeting the core condition of autism itself.
So why, in fact, has it been difficult to develop medications that could modify that core neurodevelopmental set of characteristics that are associated with autism?
So autism is really an extraordinary heterogeneous neurodevelopmental condition. The biology that affects social communication differences, repetitive behavior, sensory processing, and other characterization of autism varies substantially across different individuals. And this makes, in my opinion, drug development particularly challenging. So while we have made tremendous progress in understanding what is autism, it is very challenging to translate that knowledge into medication that can modify or help or change the core characteristic. And so far, we see it is more difficult than many anticipated.
And then, what about the psychoeducational interventions? How effective are those approaches, and are they widely available?
For some people, they are effective, for others, less. They are more effective to address behavioral aspects related to autism. They are less about the symptoms themselves. But as you mentioned, the main challenge with those behavioral and educational intervention is their accessibility. They are not always available. They are not always covered by insurance. And a lot of time, if they are available, the wait list is very, very long. So we are finding ourselves in a situation that even if those psychological and educational and behavioral intervention are helpful, sometimes because the wait list is very long, families and autistic individuals are looking for more immediate solution and also clinician, which bring us to medications that are more available and covered by insurance.
And then, how common is it for autistic people to receive off-label or alternative medications?
It is very common because the situation as we view it is that clinicians, family, autistic person, policymakers, everyone are geared with good intention, with really wanting to help and address the symptoms that make living with autism sometimes for some people challenging. And because there is no concrete specific medication to treat the core characteristic of autism, the feeling is that all stakeholders would like to try what that can be helpful now. So often we find that families and autistic person want or being prescribed different types of medication, including complementary and alternative options. And we need to remember that compared to other health conditions, many of those medication, except the two that I've mentioned earlier, are really not targeting the core autistic characteristic and symptoms. So people are really finding themselves consuming a lot of medication, a lot of types of treatments. All of those medication, all of those treatment may have interaction with each other, side effect. They basically can increase the risk more than the benefit.
So, given all of this, you argue in your article for structured clinician-family dialogue to ensure informed decision-making in autism care. What would that approach look like?
We are surrounded by a lot of uncertainty around autism care. We know that medications are for certain co-occurring symptoms, the approved medication. We know that there are many medications that are off-label, that they are not approved. We know that educational and behavioral intervention can be helpful for some, and the wait lists are long. We know that sometimes autistic person and families try complementary and alternative options as well. We don't have enough research and evidence about that. So the silver lining is that we are operating in a big uncertainty. And we offer clinician to communicate with families and with autistic person this uncertainty. We believe that by sharing what we know, by sharing what we are not sure about, and also by understanding what are the goals. If for one individual, one family, the goal is really insomnia, the goal is maybe anxiety that prevents a child attending school, or maybe self-injury or aggressive behaviors that make the child or the person have challenges in their work or school environment, maybe the approved medication like a risperidone or aripiprazole can be helpful. If the problem or the complaint is really about how the person behaves and how does it make the society feel about this behavior, the society feel uncomfortable, maybe medication are not the right solution and we have to try and look for other type. What do we want to achieve? This is the main question. And what are our options? We believe that when autistic person and families and clinicians really lay the cards on the table openly, first of all, clarifies what is important and what are the complaints, and then spread and look on the options. Sometimes maybe people will still choose to try medication, although really this is not the first indication, but the wait list to psychoeducational intervention is too long. And we believe that when this situation is communicated, this option communicated that way, we can have greater trust and we can have greater care.
Finally, moving forward, what steps could policymakers and health systems take that would help improve autism care in the long term?
Obviously, we need better research. We need better clinical trial. We need investment in medication. We need to have better access to psychoeducational intervention. We need to explore complementary and alternative options. But all of this will take time. We need to do that. We should not postpone it. But right now, we are in a crisis. We're in an urgent situation. And we need to make sure that the care delivery is excellent to autistic person and to their families. And the way to do it, in our opinion, is by offering shared decision making as a way to communicate this uncertainty. The uncertainty, if it is not communicated well, become number one barrier in the care of autistic person. And by finding ways and investing in creating shared decision-making protocols, interventions, tools, training, making it a priority, making the discussions a way to help autistic person find the solution that fits their preference, their goals.
Thank you, Dr. Sismanilani.